that aren't ashamed of Christ. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation, unto him that believeth. Sydney, my musicians, where's Mia at? Oh, Mia left again. Well, it takes a sum of the parts to make the whole. Yeah, that's an old man's equation, in case you don't know it. But I thank God, you know, I like to recognize, by the way, Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. And somebody like the genius Father's Day thing since he just came in. But we like to recognize our young people. Amen. So we thank God. Giovanni sings of the praise and all of you.
17.
Amen. Brother Elijah, did he do a great job yesterday? thank God for saying, Sister Wendy, come in. Is still Wendy, right?
Yeah.
All right, we thank God for saying this is a blessing. You said your niece?
This is my niece, Victoria, and I'm proud to Ralph's beautiful wife, Rashad.
Amen. Without you all, we wouldn't have a complete service, amen. The Bible said every part of the body is needed. How many know every part is needed? Amen. So I'm going to ask you to stand at this time for our scripture reading. I know most of you all probably have big plans for Father's Day, and you should. Amen. Honor the fathers. Honor the fathers. Amen. There's so many that aren't willing to be fathers, but honor the fathers. Amen. We're going to read from 1 John chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. And John writes this letter to the fathers. He's been part of the mix. Amen. And I didn't really realize it because I had this later that I was preparing. And then I came back to it. I said, since this is Father's Day, let's put the charge to the fathers first. Can we all say amen? So 1 John 2, verse 13 reads, I write unto you. Once again, I write unto who? Your fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. You don't have to guess. You know who is from the beginning, that is God. I write unto you young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you little children, because you have known the Father. And he repeats it again in the next verse. I write unto you fathers, you play a key part in the life of your family. And fathers play a key part in the life of the church. Amen. For him, he repeats the same instructions again. Father, because we have known him that is from the beginning. I bring unto you young men because ye are strong. And the word of God abideth in you. And ye have overcome. Lord, we bless your name. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. I said, how many want to buy a flavor? And if you want to Lord, send the word. Hallelujah. The psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not." What I like about God's word is when it gets down on the inside. See, a lot of us know God in our mouths and in our minds, but it didn't get down on the inside. Because when God's word gets down on the inside, the scripture says, "You all sin against God." Jeremiah, I believe, is Jeremiah 15, 16. Jeremiah was dealing with Judah when they were going into apostasy. That means they had fallen away from God. But Jeremiah said, "You may have fallen away." He said, "But thy word, I found it and I didn't eat it. And it became the joy and the rejoicing of my soul." So when you get God's word down in the inside, somebody have a shout in the feet. When you get God's word on the inside, you have a testimony for what God has done. Because his word was found and I did eat it. Amen. A lot of people find the word, but they know they don't eat it. So in order for God's word to help you, you have to ingest it. And then after you eat the word, don't spit it out. Right? When you eat God's word, you got to assimilate it. It has to get down in your spirit. It has to get down in your soul. God's word has to move in you. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Amen. So today we're dealing with instructions. We're dealing with the letter in verse 15. Now he's already given instructions to the father, to the children, and to the young men, and to all his children. Incorporates everyone. But then in the 15th verse, he said, "My purpose in writing unto you to let you know what? Love not the world, not the things that are in the world. If any man, then the love of the Father, how can it love God?" You don't have to wave your hand. You don't have to say a word, but God already. He said, "If any man love the world, then the love of the Father is not in him." I want to read from James, and then I give us our message. Let's go to the book of James in chapter 4, and I'll probably come back to James a little later. So, we are not to love the world. Jesus said, "Father, I pray not that you take them out of the world, but that you what? Keep them from the evil that's in the world." So, we are to be in the world, but even in the world, we ought to be a light in the world. The Bible says, because we are saved and we've got the light of God in us, we are the light of the world. So we should be a light. But James chapter 4, I'm going to start in verse, we're going to read 1 through 8, and then verse 10. And we're talking about not loving the world. Well, why would John tell the church not to love the world? And he didn't say you can't be in the world. But to love the world, we're talking about prioritizing. Right? If you love the world more than God, then you will act like the world. But if you love God, you won't act like the world. Can we say hallelujah? James 4:1 read, "From whence come wars and..." Who is James writing to? The world or to the church? He said, "Why is there fightings and wars in the church?" Somebody said, "Not in our church. It's fighting a war in every church." Right. Amen. "Come they not his even of your lust that war in your members. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war yet ye. You have not because you
ask not.
Then he clarifies it a little further in the third verse. He said, "Ye ask it because you your motives are wrong in asking." So yes, you're asking, but are you asking with the right motives? You ask amiss or wrongfully. Then you make a summit upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses. Now he's talking about spiritual, right? Spiritually adulterous. Well, what is the problem? Why am I a spirit? This old song we say, I have decided to follow. Anybody today decide to follow Jesus? I decided to follow Jesus and no, I can't turn back. I decided to follow Jesus. No matter what hardships or trouble I have, I can't stop following Jesus and revert back to the world because God has been too good to me. When I go to the world, I'm telling God, I devil. Now, the question is, why would John and James address not the world, but
the church?
Yes, it's a church. Why did God, James, and John not address the world, but
the church?
The church. Because the church had lost its identity. Y'all want me to get nosy for a minute? Let me get nosy for just a minute. Just a minute. All right, so when a minute's over, somebody just say, a minute's over. We in the church, it's supposed to look like
church.
When somebody sees a man in church, they'll say, that brother's in church. So if I stand in church and the world together, there should not be no confusion. Because when they see me, they say, church, world. This is what James and John are saying. So then, if you put two men together and say, which one is the church, which one is the world? You got an identity crisis. Is that true? Because we ought to be a city. We ought to be a light of the world. So if we are city and a light in the world, look at somebody and say, you can't look like the world. I ain't talking about it. I ain't saying y'all look like the world. But you can't look like
the world.
The world. Because we are to be different. Now, I already touched the men. Women. If we stand a woman, two women together, it should be no doubt who's the church and
who's
the world. You gotta say amen. You know, y'all gotta say amen. You better say it. Love it. You gotta say, I'm gonna tell you anyway. Because there ought to be a difference. You can't walk with God and look like the world. You can't walk with God and act like the world. You can't walk with God and talk like the world. You don't have to fit. You will never fit because you are a city that is set on a hill. You are separated. You're different. You're set apart. Since they don't call it the rap different, since they call it rap different, right. You must have a testimony. If they call you don't know what you stand for, you cannot serve the Lord. Well, can we go to y'all with me? Okay, your shouting was in vain. Because the true worshipers. Can we say true worshipers? Come on, I know it's hard. Say true worshipers. The true worshipers worship him in
spirit
and in not in hypocrisy. Listen, true worshipers. Worship the Lord Father in spirit and in
truth.
You know how you've been worshiping. I don't have to tell you. But Jesus tells us in Matthew 6:24. No man can serve. How many know Jesus saved you something? They don't let you live to the end. If I paraphrase it, Jesus said you cannot serve the Lord and the world. Even though he's talking about mammon, which is unrighteous, riches, whatever is not right is the world. So you cannot serve two masters. Finally, he will. Hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and he will despise the other. Ye cannot
serve God.
You cannot serve the Lord and the devil. Amen. A true child of God can't live a double life he or she wants to please God. If I want to live pleasing God, I can't live a double life. A double life is in church, holy and righteous. But out of church, I look like the world. I act like the world. I talk like the world. I dress like the world. When the scripture says, come out from among them and be
separate.
Who said this?
Said
the Lord. Well, that's just nothing. God said, you got to be different. Because we represent the best of God. So you cannot serve the Lord and the devil. Joshua 24, verse 14. Let's read this one together. Amen. Y'all with me? We sang it already. Now let's get down to what the Spirit. Somebody said, the Spirit is moving in my soul.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Joshua 24, 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and wait a minute. Fear the Lord and what?
Serve
him. Maybe it wasn't fearing the Lord, but are you?
Serve
him. Well, how are you to serve him?
Isn't
that sound like the true worshipers? Doesn't that sound a little like the true worshipers? In sincerity and in truth, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So sincerity must be having the spirit to do the right thing. Hallelujah. So they that serve him, right? If you're going to serve the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth. And
the way that God is glorified is service.
Now, Joshua's right to all Israel. If you read earlier, he called all the Israelites. God had brought them first across the Red Sea. Then after he brought them across the Red Sea, he brought them through the Jordan River. Just to put a plug in for baptism, every time they were delivered, they went through the water. Don't charge for that. People say, you don't have to be baptized today, you won't get delivered too.
Right.
So every time Israel got delivered, they went through the water. Yes, there's no charge. So when it comes to this side on the Jordan, he said, now God has already, oh, thank you. God has already blessed you. God has already delivered you, and you're still serving the God of all things. That's a problem. See what I say? It's a problem. All right, I'm going to try to speed this up. God has blessed you, he saved you, he keeps you every day. God is good to you, and you serve the God's only. Joshua said, no, God don't want you to do that. Amen. He said, your father served on the other side and in Egypt and served ye the Lord. And if it seemed evil unto you to serve the Lord, Lord, thank you. Choose you what day?
This day.
I know somebody said next week or tomorrow. No, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. Whether the God which your father served on thee. I wonder today how many of us are worshiping on the other side. Lord, I just want to step over. I don't want to be back there on the other side. Why? Nothing but misery, toil, and pain. God has blessed me. I'm not going to go back on the other side. You're serving the gods where you are right now. We all have a decision to make. I can't make it for you, and you can't make it for me. How are you serving the Lord? All right, let me move forward. You can't live a saved life one moment and an unsaved life the next moment and think that the Lord don't see you. You can't. This is not a good Father's Day message. You can't serve the Lord one moment. You can't serve the Lord in front of people that know you're saved. serving with people that you that don't know you see. Because they're living a double life. So you can't do that and think God doesn't. Who? Listen, if any of us make it to heaven, who's going to be the one to usher us into the presence of the Lord? So in order for us to go to heaven, we must be pleasing in the sight of
God
and not man. Because how many know everything you see, do God sees it? And even some stuff that we think, God still sees it. And as a reference to that, I got a couple more scriptures I'm going to go to. Let's go to Isaiah 29, 15. And then we're going to go to Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And right in order, because the people of God had an issue. And the issue is, they thought they could sneak on the computer in the and God don't see. Oh, I can see it. I heard it. I don't do it on the computer. I do it on the phone. God don't see it. I don't do it on the computer on the phone. I went to anybody go to the night and watch it on TV. On the corner store where they got the girly and the baby man jeans. And that man's up making a phone call. And I just cooked this thing up. Can't nobody tell what I'm doing. If you don't say amen, can we say ouch together? Ouch. If you can't say amen, say ouch. Because guess what? Isaiah 29, 15 said, woe unto them that see deep. Lord, you ain't doing it in a little way. You're trying to go deep. I don't know what young people say about going deep. He said, be going deep to hide this stuff. See deep to hide their best in plan. You know what? I'm going to do some stuff. Like, yeah, I'm going to call you on the phone. We're going to speak in code. Do you know God knows every code there is? Do y'all know God knows all the codes? And just in case you don't know that God knows all the codes, all of us got a Holy Ghost language, and the only one that understands is God. You don't even understand. And you don't think God understands your codes? You don't think He understands your, I speak with them? Some of us speak Pidlack. Some of us speak Pop Talk. I don't know what it is. And we think because we're speaking it, God don't understand it. God says, forget about that. Like yesterday, these two guys was playing basketball, speak Spanish, and French. I spoke both of them in the same language. How you know? I spoke what I know, but what I didn't know, I didn't speak. But we think we can do stuff and God doesn't. Wrong. God knows. They see deep to hide their plans from the Lord, and their works are in the wicked. Everybody's going, then we're going to do it. God still sees it. The scripture says when it comes to God, the day and the night are the same to God. You can do what you want to do in the dark and think God don't see it. He sees it. And they say, who seeth us and who knoweth us? Jeremiah 23:24 says this. Can any man
hide himself
in the place that I shall not see? You can't see the secret place. Listen, you meet me over here. Nobody don't know us. We can do our wrong in the secret place. And we don't have to worry about it. Because over here, in the secret place, the law filleth all
heaven and earth.
The law filleth all
heaven and earth.
So he sees us in the So I got plans, and down deep, God sees me. I go to the secret place. You know how it's really cold? Everybody else don't understand it. Then you get there, you're so happy. God still sees you in the secret place. Ezekiel, the 9th chapter, the 9th verse. Now we got, can y'all bear with me? Now we got a couple more scriptures. But it's so important today that we understand you cannot serve God and the devil. Ezekiel said, then said he unto me, the he said, listen, house of Judah is so immoral. They're so ungodly. Their language, God says, I can't even take it. They are immoral. They are ungodly. It's exceeding. God said, what you're doing is not just surface. He said, it is what? Exceeding great. And a land
is full of blood.
Full of blood. And a city full of perverseness is people that call right wrong. And wrong
right.
Guess who sets every standard for right and wrong? I don't care what the Senate and the House of Representatives legislate. That doesn't change what God said is right and what is the standard for right and wrong is set by God. What they say. What I like about everything they say is true. For they say the Lord has. They say the Lord has forsaken the earth and the Lord
sees.
God sees. What you're doing. He sees. So the question that we must address today is, are we living for God or are we living a double life? You can't serve the Lord on both sides of the cross. A lot of us want to walk with God on this side of the cross when we're around the saints. But we go back on the redeemed side of the cross when we're around the world. You cannot walk on both sides of the cross. You can't split the cross. It's either God or it's the devil. There is no in between. In the book of Revelation, the Lord defines it as being lukewarm. They haven't made a clear-cut decision how they're going to walk. But the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, but know thou this, for all you can't run. You can't hide. A true child of God won't walk with God and hold hands with the devil. So when you're serving two masters, actually I saw people do this. Oh, I didn't get it. They went with the wife on one side and holding an extramarital relationship and the other side, and they were walking together. I used to see it down south. I'm like, what are y'all doing? I was young, but I knew that was wrong. Right? So you can't walk with God and hold hands. So you're locked in arms with God. But in behind, here comes the devil. God sees him. You with me? So let's go to the Lord blessed me to preach this message down at Bishop Church. Now, we ain't believing in no worldly dancing, right, people? All that stuff, we don't do this. But in the book of Kings, Elijah asked him a question. He said, how long halt ye between? Either you will serve God or you will serve them. But when you don't make a decision, you're halting. The Hebrew word halting is bekach, B-A-C-A-C-H. And that means that you're having a dance party. So you're dancing with God and the devil taps you on the shoulder and say, may I have this dance? with the devil. Now, it's sometimes he puts you in a hard position to know what to do. Hey, I've never been in a hard position. Well, let's go to 1 Kings, and there's only one verse of scripture here, and we almost finished. Verse 21 of 1 Kings 18. We all know the story. Israel had drifted so far from God, they didn't even have an altar where they worshiped God anymore. Because if you read down further, when Elijah had to repair the sacrifice, he had to rebuild the altar. Because they had torn down anything that reminded them of God. Saints of God, don't tear out something that reminds you of God. God will bring you into judgment. But he says, Elijah came unto all the people. That's bad when you got to go to everybody. And said, how long are you dancing between? If the Lord be God, that's our message today. Who's God? We all know the Lord is God. If the Lord be God, will the Baal be God? Then follow him. And I pray today that many of us that are in that quandary are not like the people. And the people wouldn't make a stand. They wouldn't make a choice. They stayed on the borders. They stayed in a place of lukewarmness. We cannot simultaneously be in friendship with God and the world. It cannot work. So today, we all have to make a choice. Living a double life, you don't live a double life. Because God sees everything that we do. Sister Shannon, pull up Ecclesiastes 12. We're going to close in Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. I just want to read this for you. And I could go to another one. I believe it's the book of Romans chapter 2. It says that God is going to judge every secret thing by the gospel. So we thought we'd hit some stuff. Guess what? God knows. You cannot hide from God because God sees and God knows. And we're going to go to the 13th and 14th verse of this 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes. Today we all have a choice to make. I pray that serving God will be your number one goal. Serving God is your number one goal. The double life won't save you. The double life won't heal you. Yes, you'll get a lot of pleasure because Moses said he refused to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. But he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You know what? Moses would have been the next in line to be Pharaoh. Because he was Pharaoh's daughter's son. He would have been in line to be Pharaoh. But Moses said, no worldly, nothing I can attain in this world will compare to being pleasing God. So I choose rather to, listen, he chose to suffer. As many as will live God in Christ Jesus shall suffer. If you live for God, you're going to have some hardship, yes. But guess what? God will bring you through every last one of them. Well, verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the one matter. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Do what? Fear God. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the conclusion of the whole. Why are you alive? Fear God and keep his commandments. I think somebody has a secret page.
Yeah.
Say secret to
secret.
Faith God, even though he already knows the truth.
Amen.
Faith us. God already knows. He can fool us, but you can't fool God. Because he's going to bring every work with every secret thing, whether it be or let us all stand. You cannot serve the Lord and the devil. The elders and the ministers come forward. Life is too short to play with God. My wife often says, she said, I don't believe people really believe God is real. They play with God. Salvation is a real thing. Just because you go to church don't mean you're saved. I don't care if you've been going to church all your life. That don't mean you're saved. What makes you saved?